Welcome to the New Reality Show, where you can call in live for laser coaching and engage in Q&A with Drs. Art Emmerich and Christina Winzi. Discover how to master the power of your mind, body, and spiritual energies. Get empowered to create your new reality for more happiness, well-being, and success.
Hello, hello,
out hello, there in Radio Land. Dr. Chris and everybody else, right?
Oh, it's another Friday night, and it's just we folk. We don't have a guest tonight. Let's hope we're entertaining, eh?
Right. We better be on our best behavior now. We don't have a guest to blame it on.
That's right. Well, for then anybody who's just new to the show, I'm Dr. Christina Winzi, and this is Dr. Art Emmerich. And this is the New Reality Show, obviously, and we are very thrilled that you've joined us. And the purpose of our show is to provide solutions, information, discoveries that will help people to live happier, more empowered, and just better lives through mind, body, spirit techniques, tools. We bring on experts and do interviews, experts with solutions, and just all kinds of tips and tools. So we started this show as a labor of love because what happened to the world in the last 2 years was unthinkable, and people have been in stress and fear, and we wanted to be able to help more people. So that's why we're here.
Practical applications, what we're after. We have a little bit of theory, so you'll understand what it's about, but mainly things you can actually do to improve the quality of your life.
Absolutely. So tonight our topic is how to handle stress better. And we'll be talking about what stress is, where it comes from, why people get stressed. We'll have some client stories. We'll have some tips and tools and even a stress assessment that we can send you for free. And so I guess the other thing I wanted to just say is we invite people to call in. This is a talk show where we will laser coach you, or you can simply join in on the conversation if you have something interesting to share on the topic, if you just have a question. So you can dial a free, toll-free in the U.S., 1-888-627-6008. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 1-323-744-4831. So what I always look forward to, Dr. Art, is thanking our subscribers, because without them, it would be harder for us to keep the lights on this show. So I just want to say a big shout out. Thank you, subscribers, for your faith in us and supporting our work. And if you are a new listener and you get benefit from the show and you'd like to support our work, just go to our show page and you can become a subscriber for any amount that you choose to donate. So thank you so much.
Yeah. I'd like to just tell a real quick funny story. I was giving a couples stress management course a few years back, and I said to the group, you know, the best way to get rid of your stress is to remove the stressor. And these couples started looking over to each other like this, you know, and said, oh, no, I didn't mean that, you know. And so that is obviously a good way to deal with stress, is get rid of the thing that's stressing you. But short of that, we have some wonderful techniques that you can use to help out.
We sure do. And I got to tell you, I have a lot of fun with Dr. Art. So he's got the most wonderful sense of humor, and he keeps me laughing. And hopefully he'll keep you laughing here and there on the show. So Dr. Art, you usually have a tip of the week, and yes, I'm hoping you have one tonight.
I do. I like to pick a one-word topic to describe this. And the topic this week is breathe. Mm. So As it turns out, there are kind of three ways that we could breathe. There is a panic breathing, there's a typical breathing, and there's what we call calming breathing. Panic breathing, if you talk about where it is and how the speed of it and the location and the depth of it, the depth means how much air exchange it happens. Panic breathing is very high in the chest and shoulders. It's very shallow and very rapid. You can actually create a temporary panic attack for yourself just by going like that. And your body immediately says, oh my gosh, we're in distress. Something bad is getting ready to happen. I don't know what it is, but we only breathe this way when that happens. So I'm going to dump the adrenaline into the system, and we'll talk about what all that does. Typical breathing is kind of in the middle of your ribs or the lower chest area, and it's kind of a medium breath with an average amount of air exchange, as opposed to very shallow with the upper thing. And the calming breath is low in the abdomen. It's called belly breathing. It's very slow and very deep in that a lot of air gets exchanged. And so for stress management, one of the advocates, we're advocating that you learn how to do the abdominal or belly breathing. And I was just doing some research and found out that there is a new valuable payoff for what they call diaphragmatic breathing. The diaphragm is doing most of the work when you breathe that way. And when you do breathe that way, what happens is that the heart is actually able to get more relief from the hard work it does of pumping blood. And something happens when you breathe in, the diaphragm pulls down and sucks air into the lungs. That's a time when the heart can actually take a little bit of a break. And then when you breathe out, the diaphragm comes up and pushes the air out. And that helps the heart with its blood pumping mechanism. So it gets a lot of, and they say that even though the heart is resting, there's actually a higher volume of blood flow that happens in that case. Now, one of the things they found out was that most of the time adults breathe with what we call the average breath. And it's kind of the middle of the chest, and the diaphragm moves about 1 centimeter. It's capable of moving up to 10 centimeters. So what they're advocating is learn to do diaphragmatic or belly breathing and get to the where you can engage at about 50% level. Move your diaphragm about 5 centimeters. That's all you need. You don't have to go to the maximum at all. And if you want to learn how to do this, lie down on the floor on your back, put a book on your stomach, and then breathe and make the book go up and down as much as you can. And that will teach you how to do diaphragmatic breathing. Now, we're typically taught not to breathe that way because it is not pretty. You know, we're taught to keep your chest tight, you know, and breathe up here, have your shoulders go up and down. That's a more appropriate. We're finding out that's not a healthy way to breathe. So learn how to belly breathe and you'll give your heart a break.
Well, very good. And that is the bottom line, that last sentence that you said. And there are plenty of resources for belly breathing. And, it's very important. And using the breath to calm down. So as we talk about solutions for stress, that tip is really key. The breath is what, you know, gets us to that deep place. And, you know, from the hypnosis that you do, from the mindfulness that we do, the meditations that we teach, it all involves the deep belly breathing. So excellent. Wonderful. So, let's start with our topic. And, I also wanted to, just let people know that we're going to be interspersing some client stories, because we don't want this to be just theory and we don't want this to be just information. We want it to be really come to life. And so we'll have some examples of how stress has affected people, how certain things have helped them. And And again, you know, if you have a point or a question or want to call in and talk to us or even get some help right on the air, just a reminder that the phone numbers direct are 888-627-6008. That's in the U.S., toll free. And outside the U.S. is 1-323-744-4831 and dial direct. So, Dr. Art, what is stress and how does it affect the body?
Well, what happens when you experience stress, and we'll talk about some of the things that causes you to do that, the body, probably back from the caveman and cave lady days when we were out hunting for roots and berries and all of a sudden there was a big noise and from behind the trees and we didn't know what it was. What our system learned to do was to dump adrenaline into our system. The rest of the world calls it epinephrine. We call it adrenaline in this country for some reason. Here's what happens when that occurs. Your heart rate increases. Your breathing speed and location changes. So you may be moving, it moves upward and faster and shallower. You start to sweat. Now, all of these are because our body knows it's going into fight or flight, and it wants to sweat to cool the system down so it won't overheat in this running or fighting, whatever we're going to do. The breathing speed's up because we need more oxygen. Heart rate increases. We need to pump more blood and get the arms and legs for fighting or running in good shape. Vision narrows. We go from our beautiful wide angle vision where we're taking in a huge amount of data down to the blinding thing. So all we need to do is see two things. Where's the cave? Where's this noise coming from? And I got to make a decision. Am I going to run or am I going to fight? Now, I want to congratulate all of you out there because, and you too, Dr. Chris, because your ancestors made the perfect decision. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So we're all survivors of that period. Our feeling and our hearing is reduced. The feeling, because if we get bitten on the heel by a saber-toothed tiger, we don't want to feel that for sure, you know. And all the screaming and everything that might happen. So all of that shuts down and we can't hear as well. We can't see as well. The blood flow shifts to the arms and legs. Everything in the core pretty well shuts down, all digestion. And the other thing that happens, interestingly, for our current day, is that the blood goes from the prefrontal lobe area into the back to the lizard brain. That's the one that handles the fight or flight part. Mm-hmm. The frontal lobe, as it turns out, is where our IQ is. So we're literally dumber when we're under stress than we are when we're relaxed. So that's some of the things that happen in the body when we go into a stress response. And there are any number of things that can kick us into that fear, sudden shock, and all kind of. We'll talk about those some. But that's just kind of when we talk about what stress is. That's what the body's going through. That's what it mm-hmm. experiences.
Yep, very very thorough. And I think what people may gather from that, at least I hope that they do, is that if you're in that state more often than not, you are really taxing your body because mm-hmm. your body needs a lot of resources that normally it would have as a backup if needed for emergencies. But when you have stress chronically, when you're always, or shall we say, 75 to 80% of the time, you have a very stressful life and your adrenaline is up and these physiological processes are happening in your body on a constant basis. This is where Hans Selye, who studied the general adaptation syndrome, which is how he described stress, he explained that you have this ability to go into fight or flight and then recover. But if you're always in fight or flight, like you know, the executive that's always on the phone racing through traffic, cursing at the other cars, or on the commuter train doing work and then gets home and has, you know, I mean, there's so many situations of people who stay in stress overwhelm. And when they do that, the ability to recover reduces, and it starts taking a toll on the immune system and all of the systems of the body. So this is why, you know, stress and stress management are words that are tossed around a lot, and people don't really relate to, well, why do I need to worry about stress? You know, and even though they know that their lives are stressful, they don't really understand how it's affecting them. And, you know, it can affect you economically because you have health issues as a result. Stress is responsible for 75% of doctor visits, if not more. And so this is why we've brought this topic, because Dr. Art and I are very passionate about helping people reduce stress. And not all stress is bad, Dr. Art. You know, we wanted to talk about that. And then you brought up the frontal lobe, and you had a story about a student. So maybe you could talk about why not all stress is bad, and then tell the story.
We talk about stress as if it was just one thing. There is something called eustress, which is good stress. And someone once said, if we didn't have that, we probably wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. You know, we mm-hmm. have to have a certain amount of stress to get us going, get us moving. But if it goes over a certain amount, then it becomes distress. And that's where the problems. And one of the advantages that our forefathers and foremothers had is that they actually did run or fight. And they got rid of the cortisol and the adrenaline that was in their system. We don't run and we don't fight anymore, but we've still got those biochemicals in our system. And so figuring out ways to dissipate those and get them out of our system are really very important for us. So I had a student, very smart, studied hard, and he was just flunking all of his exams. He couldn't pass an exam. In some cases, he would just sign his name and turn in a blank piece of paper. And so his parents actually call and wanted to know if I'd work with him. And I told him about the stress, what, you know, all the blood is flowing out of his IQ area and all the stuff he knows he doesn't have access to anymore. So we worked a lot on helping him learn how to calm down before and during the testing activity. And we worked a lot on progressive relaxation. We worked a lot on his breathing. And we worked on teaching him a mantra. A mantra is just a sound, mm-hmm. Often a word. And it could be the word ocean or calm or peace or anything. Because one of the things we found out is that Dr. Herbert Benson, the Harvard Medical School, did a lot of work with the relaxation response. And he found out that the conscious mind can only think of one thing at a time. So mm-hmm. if it's thinking stressful thoughts and you take a word and repeat it, ocean, 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 he's called a blocking technique. There isn't anything else that can get in there while you're doing that. And that's the value of a mantra. It's not nothing magic about the word. It could be tiddlywinks or piece of pie, whatever you want to use, but you repeat it to the point it blocks out everything else. And then you're able to get some relief from whatever the thought is or the idea is that is causing you the distress.
Well, that's so awesome.
The student immediately, his grades started going up, his test scores were going up, and he was just fascinated by the fact that all of a sudden he had access to all those things that he knew, but he couldn't remember at the time. He couldn't access them. It's not magic. It's really straightforward stuff.
But that's awesome, and it proves that people can learn to calm their bodies. Mm-hmm. So far we've talked about your tip of the week, which was the belly breathing, mm-hmm. and then the second being the mantra to block other conscious fear thoughts. So I want to keep track of these so that people understand the tools and the tips that they're getting throughout the program. So that's a great story. I had another client of mine who had a break into her apartment. And as a result, she was traumatized and felt violated. And we had to work with various techniques to help her calm down and not get stressed out and panic attacked when she heard noises in the apartment, or even when she had a confrontation with someone, she would literally shake. And so, you know, stress can bring you to the point of uncontrollable shifts in the body that you know, shaking and feeling as though you have no control over the reactions that your body is having. And we worked on emotional freedom technique, which we've talked about here on the show. We have some free handouts on that if anybody wants them, and I will say how to get them at the end of the show. And then, visualization is one of the things we had to use to help her to calm herself. We also used a mantra type technique, breathing. So you can learn these things, and I think it's really, really important. So the other point we had was, where does stress come from? And you talked about, the saber-toothed tiger, but there are a lot of places that stress comes from. One of them being when you are just soldiering on in life, where things come at you and you just keep handling them and don't take time to tune into yourself and say, you know, how is this affecting me? What do I really want? It may seem like a small thing, but self-care and listening to how your body's feeling when something happens or someone asks something of you, it's about being aware of yourself, because stress comes from ignoring your body cues. And you had made a point, you know, when we were talking about the show, you talked about first it's a whisper, then it's a yell. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that our the saying is that you can fool your mind, but you can't fool your body. And the idea is when things are going poorly, your whole mind-body system is aware of that. And your mind will say, you've got to do something about this. And it'll whisper to you about it. If you don't deal with it, then it will talk to you about it. If you don't deal with it, it will start screaming at you to deal with it. And if you don't do anything, then your body will start to break down. So there's an escalation of warnings that your own mind-body system will give you, and you need to take the time to slow down and listen to yourself, listen to your body, be in touch with yourself, and just do a scan every now and then saying, how are we doing here? You know, are we relaxed? Are we feeling peaceful? Are we, the point you made, Dr. Chris, are we feeling like we're in control of the things that we should be in control of? Yeah. If we've not given it away to somebody or something else. So we'd like to stress that we always have choice. Some of the choices may not look very good, but they are choice.
Well, and what's really key about that, that I did want to bring up, is that when we don't listen to ourselves, this is when we develop what I call SOC, stress, overwhelm, coping, karma. And stress, overwhelm, coping, karma can be anything from overeating to nail biting, to yelling at, you know, anger and rage, impatience, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, anything that you use to cope instead of managing the stress, which is listening to your body and saying, oh, I better pay attention here and do some stress management. Yeah. And in fact, you had a story about a nail biter that you worked with.
His stress came from the fact that when he was in high school, he was almost identified as the nail biter. And he may be listening now. He delights in telling this story. And he said, could you work with me? Because I think I've got time. If I could stop biting my nails, I've got time to grow a nice set for the reunion, my 25th reunion. So we worked, and he started growing a beautiful set of nails. And so every time I see him now, he waves at me. He lives here in Sarasota. And instead of waving like this, he waves this way to show me that he's still got these beautiful nails. And he's very proud of them and should be, because it was something that he felt like he was not in control of. It was a habit that had control of him, and it was causing him a great amount of distress about it. And once he got control and felt like he was in charge again, it just made a huge difference in his life.
That's an awesome story. I love it. And I love the way he waves at you. And it sure shows the power of hypnosis. I mean, my goodness, a lifelong nail biter who now has beautiful nails. And I just want to do a station identification because we're at the half hour. We are listening to the New Reality Show. I'm Dr. Christina Winsey, and Dr. Art Emmerich is my co-host. And if you would like to join the conversation, ask a question, get some laser coaching, you're welcome to call in toll-free in the U.S., 1-888-627-6008. And you can also dial direct outside the U.S. at 1-323-744-4831. And back to our topic, but I just wanted anybody new who tuned in maybe to understand who they're listening to and why they might want to listen. So, we've talked about a lot. Do you want to add anything else about where does stress come from before we go on to kind of the same topic, the triggers? We had talked about various triggers.
Yeah. One of the ones that I thought would be good to mention is money issues. A lot of people do have money issues that can cause an enormous amount of stress in our lives. We don't know if there's going to be enough to stretch over the things that we need for it to stretch over. So I have people who come in to see me and they want to know if we can work on it. And I'm not a good person to come to if you say, I want you to help me become a millionaire, because I don't think I have experience in that area enough. But for earning an appropriate amount of money and having enough to meet your needs, certainly something that falls within the hope and the, I think, the right of every individual. So in hypnosis, some of the interesting things you can do with hypnosis is a creative use of your own imagination. That's what it really boils down to. So we use something called dominant thought. A dominant thought is a picture coupled with a very strong positive emotional feeling. So what I would have people do, if, for example, and this is going to sound like not much of anything, but when you're in a deep hypnotic trance, believe me, it really makes a difference. They have them picture their bank statement as it came in every month, and a number that they would like to see at the very beginning of this process on their bank statement. And as they see that bank statement in their mind's eye, what is the feeling that they have about that? And we have to be real careful to say, what would you like to feel, or what is the feeling you will have? Because will have never comes. This is what the feeling that you have. You're seeing that statement in your mind's eye, and it has a number on it that's very pleasing to you. So how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And that's something that they need to repeat at least once a day. Make that picture and couple it with that feeling. And then every month they raise that number. The number they're seeing on the bank statement goes up every month. Hmm. We talk about, well, so what's an appropriate amount that you think it ought to go up? And magically, not magic in terms of quantum physics, but what the person is really doing is changing the vibrational level that they're operating from. Because of quantum entanglement, those vibrations go out into the universe and actually attract to you the things that you are picturing. And so one of the things we found out is, do not tell your unconscious mind how to do something. Mm-hmm. It already knows more hows than you'll ever come up with. What it doesn't know is, what do you want? And you can't tell it with words, because it doesn't use words like we do. Our conscious mind's capable of very complex abstractions. I could say, Dr. Chris, I could not hardly fail to disagree with you less. Now, did I agree or disagree? I don't know. and neither does the unconscious. It says, look, show me, what does it look like? What do you want? Show me a picture of it. And let me know how you're going to feel. How do you feel when that picture shows up in your external reality? It's not mm-hmm. your imagination anymore. How do you feel about that? And if you repeat that enough, repetition, which we call practice, is another thing. It's putting a neurological pattern into your system. And also repetition, in this case, is the way you convince your unconscious that you're serious. It does not want to, just like us, we don't want to waste a whole lot of time on something to have somebody change their mind and say, oh, you know, I changed my mind. I didn't really want that. I wanted something mm-hmm. else, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you repeat this, and the laboratory suggests that it takes 65 days to install a complex new neurological pattern in your system. And we used to say, well, it takes a week, or it takes 30 days or whatever. Those are for fairly simple things, like I want to drink a certain number of glasses of water a week, or I want to go mm-hmm. to the gym 3 days a week, whatever. That's one thing. But now you're talking about, I want to have something in my bank account that I don't know where it's even coming from. But I know that it can come, and mm-hmm. I know how I feel when that happens. Now you're putting that, you're broadcasting that, and it mm-hmm. and it attracts it to you. So that's kind of an example of some of the things we do with hypnosis. And it's amazing how very, very subtle and powerful it is when people start using that technique.
For sure. And using the same example is how people can de-stress. So this is why a lot of visualization meditations, mindfulness meditations, talk about seeing an ocean or a beach, if that's your favorite place where you mm-hmm. relax, or going into the mountains and lying on very soft grass on a hill, and, you know, things of nature where you're kind of, because the key here is that the mind doesn't know the difference between what is real and what's imagined. That's what's so powerful here that people need to get, Dr. Art, is that when they are picturing the, and this speaks to the student that said ocean, 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 you're directing your brain what to focus on. And when you focus on the thing that you want, you end up having an emotional response as if it's really happening. And so you can test this out, folks, with imagining that you're cutting into a lemon, and imagine that when you cut into it, the spray of the lemon juice, you can smell it as you think about it, because lemons are so potent. And then you can imagine biting into it and how that would make you pucker. and you can already start to salivate and feel that your body is feeling as though you're eating a lemon. It's the same thing. When you are getting the conscious mind out of the way and doing the subconscious with pictures and feelings, that's why hypnosis is so powerful. That's why guided visualizations work. And you're right, quantum entanglement, the law of attraction, it's just so powerful. The other thing, though, is in order to be able to feel and to enjoy visualization is that well-being, feeling good physically, mentally, emotionally, is very key to being able to stay in that high vibration of happiness, peace, serenity, love. And so stress management is absolutely paramount for quantum physics, for law of attraction, for quantum entanglement, that you are able to feel good and therefore do the things that will affect your subconscious mind and affect your vibration going out into the quantum space. So it's real science, you know. That's the beauty of this, is that we're talking real science. And there's a wonderful movie that I think started the real awareness of the law of attraction, which is called What the Bleep Do We Know? Mm-hmm. And in that movie, they showed when different people had different emotions, they literally showed it going out. They made a photographical or videographical representation of their vibration going out. So when they felt hate or anger, or they felt love and peace. And I've experienced this with my dog. And I don't know if I've said this before on the show, but where I'll be sitting at the computer perfectly content and he's there by my side on the floor and he's just, you know, very happy to be right next to me. And if something goes wrong with the computer or I get an email that makes me angry or even just frustration, he gets up and walks away. And this is the second dog that has done that, by the way. They're very tuned in to our vibrations.
They are. They really pick up on things we haven't learned to pick up on yet.
Exactly. It's amazing. So yeah, I mean, money issues are huge. Test taking is huge. There's so many. Well, let's go on with our solutions, because what we wanted to cover was mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and social. We wanted to talk about all of those. I first want to just let people know that we have a free handout that is basically a stress self-assessment. There are studies that have been done showing that if you're going through any, like several of the top 10 stressors, they figured out what are the top 10 things that stress people: divorce, moving your home, changing jobs, having a child. There's certain very powerful stress events that even though there's joy in some of them, they take a lot out of you. And if you have several of them going on all at once, whoa, that's pretty stressful. So this stress identifier will list for you the top, I think they're top 20 of the stressors, and you can identify, well, am I going through any of these? And if so, how many of them am I going through, and what do I need to pay attention to? So the way you get that free handout is to write into contactnrshow@gmail.com. So that's N as in new, R as in reality, show, contactnrshow@gmail.com. So Dr. Art, let's talk about the different solutions: mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, and social.
Well, one of the things we talked about mentally, just the idea of mindful meditation, just sitting, I look at it as a process of training your conscious mind to come and sit with your unconscious, which is always in the present moment. It's beating your heart. It's breathing for you. It's running all these systems in the background. And it cannot afford to take a vacation. Like your conscious mind will say, oh, I think I'm going off in the future for a little while. I'm going to plan an event. And I want to visualize what it's going to be like when that event happens, you know. Or I'm going to go back in the past and review something that happened and see if I could improve on it. So if that ever happens again, I'll do better next time. And it's just running around like a wild racehorse. Mindful meditation is inviting your conscious mind to come and sit and just watch and listen. That's all. It has no evaluation. You're not trying to fix anything. You're not trying to do anything. You want to be a silent observer. And believe me, it takes a while to learn how to do that, because your conscious mind will do it for maybe 10 seconds and say, okay, got enough of that. Let's go. Let's go off. And so you have to haul it back in and say, no, sit here. Just watch. What's coming down the stream is thoughts and feelings and ideas, and they will trap you and get you engaged with them if they can. And so you need to learn how to just not allow them to take over and take charge and get you identified with them at all, but just stay as an observer. Because as soon as they come down the stream, they go by, and here comes another one, and here comes another one, here comes another one. That's a very, very powerful practice, and it literally changes the physiology of your brain. If you do that long enough, it will change the actual structure of the brain. And so it's a really
Very, very important point. And it speaks to the plasticity of the brain.
Yeah.
You know,
neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. Some people feel that they are just trapped with a brain that just won't stop. And the fact is that you can practice mindfulness and meditation, and you literally can become a calm, peaceful person. I do know from just personal experience that the advent of these cell phones and tablets and computers really takes a toll on your ability to remain peaceful and focused. And so what I practice every day is getting out in nature, my garden, going out in the backyard with the dog, taking multiple breaks away from the computer. And, you know, it's vital. First of all, if you can get out in nature and connect with nature, that's huge, because that's where we get our sustenance from, is the planet. But if you're living on your phone and you're living on your computer and you're living by the clock, then you are really creating a scenario where you can't relax and where those thoughts are going to completely, you know, take over and keep you in that stress state. So that's one of the tools, is not just mindfulness and meditation, but actually taking very frequent breaks and finding something like, look, your background is a forest, mine is a rose. Just, I remember I took a course, it was an audio course way back when we had cassette tapes, and Dr. Deepak Chopra's mind and body course, where he explained that just a split second of seeing something in nature can completely calm the body and change your physiology. So things to do with the mind, so powerful. What I wanted to talk about was the physical solution. what I believe I read studies showed was that 15 to 30 minutes of brisk walking every day will counteract an entire day of stress. So if you come home from the office and you have, you know, maybe you can take a walk before dinner, or you can take it after dinner. Now that daylight savings is going away, maybe that won't be possible. But to take even 15 minutes brisk walk is a very powerful way to counteract stress physically.
Mm-hmm. Just pure physical without the nature part, go to the gym, or if you have a treadmill in your home, or an exercise bike or something, getting some physical activity, it does an enormous amount of stress reduction involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. The next is emotional. And we had talked a long time ago, we had a show on emotional freedom technique, and we also have a free handout for that. We won't go into a whole great amount of depth on that because that was a whole show. We can just say, go to our show page. You'll find an archived show. If you scroll down, you'll see that there was a show on emotional freedom technique. But if you would like the handout, you just again write contact nrshow at gmail.com and we'll send it to you. So just say, I want EFT information. But do you want to say anything about emotional ways, tools and tips?
Well, I think if I could talk about the sailboat analogy.
Yes.
That works. Okay.
Absolutely.
I've developed something that helps people to use as kind of a personal self-assessment. It involves imagining that you are some kind of a sailboat. And you could imagine that you are a very high-tech a racing boat, you know, computer controlled and sails and everything. Or you could be a big old-fashioned 3-4-masted schooner, like the ones that Columbus used to come over in 1492. You could be a modern racing e-scow for those of you who are sailors. Or you could be a little pumpkin seed, you know, just a little day sailor thing that you get out on. So it's important that you understand a little bit about what kind of a sailboat you are. And then what you need to add to that is the stressor. You know, if a sailboat is sitting out in the water and there's absolutely no wind, what happens? Nothing. There's no stress on the sail, which puts stress on the mast, which puts stress on the hull of the boat. And as soon as that overcomes the resistance of friction, the water, the sailboat begins to move. So you get a little bit of movement when you have some wind. So that's the stressor. So you need to know, what kind of wind am I trying to sail in? And the wind will also kick up the water and create an environment. So if you're a great big 4-masted schooner, you're not going to get anywhere very fast, but you could sail in a hurricane and it wouldn't bother you a bit, you know, whereas if you're a smaller, that could turn you over pretty fast and wreck the whole thing. So what kind of waters are you sailing in? Are you in an ocean? Are you in a out in the bay here in the Gulf? Are you in a lake? Is it a large lake or a small lake? Or, you know, and so when you combine those and you know a little bit about, well, I'm a fairly small boat, so I need to stay in smaller bodies of water and or large body of water if there's not much wind blowing. But just being able to get away from looking at you and the stress you're under and what's causing the stress, get off into these analogies and try to imagine yourself from your own experience. You know, how do I handle stress? Some people can handle an enormous amount of stress, others not so much, yeah. and be successful. So using that as a way to just kind of give yourself a break and find out, maybe I'm putting myself into stormy seas and I'm not really able to handle that. So I need to avoid those when I can.
I love that analogy. And as far as emotional solutions, it's sort of a way to use that analogy to say, is this relationship a hurricane? And do I have the capacity? Is my boat big enough to handle this, the stress that comes with this relationship? This
and also
job.
Knowing, is that going to last forever, or is this a temporary thing that, you know, right. Yeah, it's stormy right now, but it's not going to be that way forever. So maybe I just need to stay in port a little while and let the storm pass over,
right.
And then I can go back out again. Yeah.
And also thinking about from in terms of emotions, how do you create your own emotional stress? That's a whole nother topic of what you tell yourself. And how you react to situations and people can, you know, when you start to examine, you know, every time someone does such and such, I get very upset. And maybe looking at the places where you get upset or what you say to yourself that gets you in an emotional state where you're not really happy or you're frustrated or even you have an anger issue. Emotions are very important to keep track of. And a lot of it stems just from what meaning we attach to things and what we tell ourselves. So another tip for emotional well-being would be to begin to explore what it is that you say to yourself when every time you get upset, because what someone else believes about you is not your business, you know, and we often will upset ourselves thinking how important it is that they not think badly of us or whatever it is that we're telling ourselves. Or if someone looks at you a certain way, there's a funny thing, you know, a wife could say, honey, how do I look in this dress? And he could say, oh, you look fine. And she could say, well, what does that mean? You know, oh, you don't like it. Well, he didn't say he didn't like it. So, you know, like we do these interpretations, or well, you didn't want to say that I look fat in this. He didn't say that either. You said that.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah, there are certain ways that we...
Putting interpretations.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the last was, there were two more. There was spiritual and social, and we're running out of time. So what can we give them on spiritual and social pretty quick?
I think this idea of, as we talked before, developing a very good relationship with where's your mojo come from? You know, your higher power in your life. It, for some people, it's God. For some people, it's a guardian angel, an inner guide. And so wherever that non-physical element that is potential, some people don't have anything there at all. And other people do have something. And they call to some people engage in prayer. And I love the story about Mother Teresa, who was late for an appointment one time. And so they asked her why she was late, and she said she was at prayer. And they said, oh, what do you say when you pray? And she said, oh, I don't say anything. I just listen. And they say, oh, well, what does God say to you? And she said, oh, he didn't say anything either. He just listens. So sometimes just being quiet and listening is our connection to a higher power. It can take all different forms, but it is extremely powerful. And if we forget miss out on that connection for a while, it begins to show up in our life. So
Absolutely. Reconnecting
sometimes is the key.
Well, and also thinking that everything depends on you versus a higher power. I mean,
right.
You know, the higher power runs the planets and the seas and the, you know, the wind and the mountains and the weather. Or you can do it yourself. Do you want to do it yourself? know.
Go ahead, try it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then the social part, Dr. Art, had to do with making connection, you know, breaking out of isolation is really, really key. Feeling.
Especially now, because we've been so isolated with COVID that getting back into contact, and this is not what we're doing now on Zoom, although that's good. That's better than nothing. But the actual in-person, face-to-face contact with human beings is there's a death that is caused when babies are not picked up.
Yes.
They die. I mean, yes. So
failure to thrive.
Failure to thrive. So just the human contact apparently is something that is very, very much a part of being healthy in our,
yes,
in our life.
Very much. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Art.
And you too. Thank you.
Yeah, this has been amazing. I want to remind people, we talked about belly breathing. We talked about having a mantra that calms you. We talked about what your dominant thought and feeling is. We talked about the boat analogy. We talked about the different mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, and social, 30 minutes of walking, doing mindfulness meditation, emotional freedom technique, developing your relationship with a higher power, and social interaction and actual human contact. So important. So I thank you so much for everything. And if you would like, audience, if you would like to get any of our free handouts, the stress assessment or the emotional freedom technique, just write to contactnrshow@gmail.com. Next week, we'll be talking about how to have more confidence for more success. And we're going to have a great time with that. So that's our show. And it's been an absolute joy, Dr. Art.
And with you also, and thank everyone for tuning in. We really appreciate your learning about how to manage stress in your life. And hopefully that's going to be some life skills that you can use from here on out.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us. If you've enjoyed this show, please consider being a supporter. You can find that on our show page. Tune in every Friday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Reality Show for announcements of upcoming topics and exciting guest interviews. Bye for now.